There is one niche in commercial real estate that almost no one talks about. And that's what we're going to cover today on this episode of the Financial Momentum Podcast. Welcome to the Financial Momentum Podcast, and today I want to talk about something that I've been dealing with for the last 14 years. It's kind of my specialty area in real estate, and it's something almost no one talks about, if anyone at all talks about it. So a few days ago, someone asked me what my favorite type of real estate is. So I wrote a newsletter article on it this week, and it's time to do the podcast episode on it. And that is oil field real estate. Now, what is that? What is oil field real estate? Well, it's not an actual type of real estate, really. To me, it is, but it's not one of the generally recognized property types in commercial real estate. But what it is real estate that is in and around the oil and gas industry in the oil fields. Now, this would include properties that are used directly in the industry by the companies that operate in that industry. And also would include the four major commercial property types that are available in these regions. Now, for example, there's the usual ones: retail, office, multifamily, and industrial properties. And we're going to be talking about the Permian Basin area of West Texas, specifically the Midland-Odessa area in West Texas. There have been a lot of fortunes made by investing in real estate in that area. I have helped many investors increase their fortunes, help them buy the real estate in that area, help them sell the real estate in that area, help them lease it in that area. And I've made a good amount of money myself investing in that area. But why is that such a good place to be investing in commercial real estate? Well, do you remember a long time ago, movies? You know, when I was growing up, there were movies, Westerns, a lot of Westerns going on. And actually, these were movies probably made before I was born, but I watched them. And they included movies that took place in areas where there was a gold rush going on. You know, California, Alaska, places like that. One thing that always happened was these gold miners, they'd dig up a bunch of gold, or they'd pan it out of the river, I guess, wherever they got their gold. They'd save it up and, you know, they'd make their monthly trip to town. They'd either sell the gold or just use the gold directly to buy stuff, swap the gold for things that they needed. You know, they'd buy supplies and equipment, but they'd have to go back and dig up more gold to keep that income coming, you know, to keep it flowing. It wasn't automatic. It wasn't recurring income unless they had somebody out there mining their gold for them. Now, they spent their riches in the saloons, the hotels, brothels, general stores, hardware stores. These businesses were making money by selling their stuff to the miners. But they were, you know, they weren't just earning money from one gold mine. They made money from all of the gold mines. It's kind of the same in Midland and Odessa. These oil field service companies, the drilling companies, the production companies, they all need industrial properties. They all use office warehouse type properties. And they also spend their money all over town And guess what? That creates a large demand for stores, restaurants, hotels, apartments, offices. No brothels, though. There used to be, but that got shut down a few years ago, so they're not around anymore. But they spend their money all over town, and they're creating a large demand for these things. Unlike other cities, most of these people do not work from home. Even if they're working in the office, they don't work from home. They come into the office. So when you compare with a lot of cities, you know, that have bigger cities and they have large office buildings that are 50% vacant, 80% vacant, it's not that way out there. Most of their office buildings are full. Not only that, things like movie theaters, full of people. You go to a restaurant for dinner, a lot of times you have a 30-minute wait. It's a normal thing out there to have to wait 30 minutes, 45 minutes to get a table at a restaurant. Especially if you're, you know, if it's a Friday or Saturday night. Certain days of the week, though, it's like that. Sometimes certain restaurants, it's like that every day of the week. It's just a lot going on out there. And hotels, in times of high activity in the oil fields, hotels go at a premium. My wife and I had dinner with somebody who had one night who had been to Hollywood. She stayed at a really nice hotel in Hollywood. And you expect a hotel in Hollywood to be very expensive. And then she came to Midland in Odessa. She stayed at a Fairfield Inn. That's, if you're familiar with Fairfield Inns, that's a Marriott brand. It's one of the lower end brands, usually about $100 for a night. Her night at the Fairfield Inn cost her more than the hotel did in Hollywood. So I think she was paying about $400 a night. So when things get really busy out there, that's what happens. That kind of thing happens. And, you know, there are people building hotels out there and paying them off in 3 years. It's crazy stuff like that. Now, it's not like that all the time. But, you know, when there's a big boom on in the oil business, it gets that way. But here's the thing about investing out there. Why is it so good? And here's why I believe it's a good area for commercial real estate investing. Permian Basin has a huge economy. They're only about, okay, so in the Midland Odessa area, 370,000 people in the metro service area there. So how big could that economy possibly be? Well, how about $181.8 billion in gross domestic product contributed to the U.S. economy? That's annually, okay? And it's projected to go to $325 billion by 2050. That's a lot of money flowing around that place. And there's a lot of opportunity out there for you. Don't have to be in the oil business. You can be in other businesses and have a lot of opportunity in that area. And this is going to go on for quite a while, as long as political landscape leans the right way and, you know, our demand for cars and for oil stays the way it is. Permian Basin has 105 billion barrels of known recoverable oil. And I say known because, you know, every now and then they discover a new deposit and they have to up that number. 229 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. And by 2025, and that's only next year, not very far away, that area will account for half of all U.S. oil production. 50% of the U.S. oil production is going to come from that area, from the Permian Basin. The Permian Basin is bigger than Midland and Odessa. It runs there. It runs up north a little bit. It goes over west into New Mexico. But those are the biggest populated areas. The Midland Odessa area is the biggest populated area in that region. So to me, that's a perfect situation. There was all that money floating around. Relatively small population. As I said, about 370,000 people. When I first got out there, it was a lot less than that. Probably about 75,000 people less than that. And that was in 2008, 2009. So there's a high demand for goods and services. High demand for rental real estate space, rentable space. High demand for that. Now, what goes on out there in the economy is pretty fascinating. Historically, there have always been these boom and bust cycles. When the price of oil goes up, there's a boom. When it goes down, there's a bust. And they used to be pretty intense. People got filthy rich during the boom and they went bankrupt during the busts. But because of new technology, new engineering technology and technology in the oil field, and as far as drilling and extracting oil and gas, that has kind of flattened out quite a bit. Thankfully, it's not like it used to be. Now we have downturns and we have upturns, and they're not huge and they're not devastating like they used to be. So things have kind of leveled out, which makes it a much better place to invest. And that has really been a big help to the area. So even when drilling has slowed way down, and we're kind of in a slow spot right now, real estate is still a good deal out there. It's still a good investment. In fact, it's the perfect time to buy because prices are down a little bit right now. So the local economy there, it's always been the opposite of what the U.S. economy has been. So when things are great, you know, in the national economy, they're okay there. It's okay there. But when things go bad in the national economy, it's really usually really good out there. And that's kind of leveled out as well. But it's still there. You can still see it. Here's why nowadays it doesn't slow down as much. The improved technology out there, it allows more profitable oil production at lower prices. So when the price of oil goes down $50 to $50 a barrel, I mean, they can still make a profit on oil at that rate. It's not much, but you know, they still can. Now, the service companies out there that service these wells, here's why they stay in business. There's about 200,000 wells out there, 200,000 oil and gas wells in the Permian Basin. That comes from the Texas Railroad Commission. They're the ones that regulate oil and gas production in Texas. So it's easy to see why there are thousands of oil field service companies operating out there. And you'd be surprised what kind of businesses operate off of the oil and gas industry. I have met people out there who I used to know a guy who owned a porta potty business, made a fortune off his porta potty business. The drilling companies, when they drill a well, they have to have porta potties. They have to have other little trailers that have showers in them, and they have to have little air conditioned trailers where people can go and cool off. And you see, you know, it gets pretty hot out there when they're out there on the drilling rigs. So this guy, he had this porta potty company, and he started it. And that's, I mean, he was making hundreds of thousands of dollars annually. He was really raking in a lot of money. And food trucks will go out to these drill sites. I talked to one guy who had a food truck who contracted to a fracking company, and they had, they have like 100 guys out on a crew, and he had to go out and feed them 3 meals a day. And, he was making $3,000 a day off of this food. He was just taking his food truck out, feeding these guys 3 times a day. And, you know, you pay for a food truck pretty quick like that. So that's just an example of the opportunities out there. And these people need real estate. They need places to operate from. They need industrial properties. These industrial properties are like, you know, office warehouse properties. In other cities, they might call them shop buildings, where they have an office in the front, maybe 1,500 square feet, and then, you know, maybe a 3,000 foot or a 5,000 foot shop area or a 6,000 foot shop area. And they go all the way up to even bigger sizes, like 10,000, 15,000 square feet with some acreage. You know, they need a yard. They need 4 or 5 acres of a yard with a hard surface and fencing around it to park equipment. They lease those things. Investors buy them, and these companies lease the properties. And this was, I mean, I used to own one of these 7,500 square foot building, 2.5 acres. Actually we, upgraded that to a 9,000 foot building. We added more office space, $10,000 a month in rent, $3,000 a month, positive cash flow on that property. That's a pretty good investment. That's a pretty good income to be coming in off one property. And of course, you're going to have office space. Some of these companies, the offices that are available in these industrial properties aren't large enough. And they want to have an office away from that environment. So they'll get, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 square feet in an office building in town, or they'll get more even. Sometimes they'll lease out an entire floor of office space. And that's why most of the office buildings out there are full. And it wasn't long ago we had a shortage of office space out there, even in the retail business. These people need to spend their money. They need to go out to eat. They need to go out and buy food at grocery stores. They need to buy clothing. They need to buy all kinds of stuff. Car dealerships are, I mean, you know, all this property, most of it is owned by investors and leased to companies. Even car dealerships. They don't all, some of those people will own their property, but a lot of the car dealerships are leased. They lease that property from someone. Let's talk about cap rates for a minute. That's a way, if you're not familiar with cap rates, that's a way that you can quickly determine what your return is going to be on an investment in commercial real estate. And a lot of people say, oh, no, that's not what that is. But you know what? It really is. That's really what that is. And your cap rates vary from one location to another, from one city to another, one geographical area to another. But they also vary according to property types, and all kinds of things can affect what your cap rate is. A cap rate is calculated by the net operating income from the property divided by the purchase price of the property. Now, loans don't enter into that, so you don't take your loan payment out of you don't count that in your expenses. This is as if you paid cash for the property. That's how you calculate it. Cap rates out there right now are running around 9 to 10%, which is really good. Most of the areas in the country for the last 2 or 3 years, 5 years even, have been way lower because these real estate prices have gotten out of hand, gotten so expensive, and cap rates have been down to like 5 or 6%. But you know what? When interest rates are down, you can earn 5 or 6% on a real estate investment, as opposed to what you were earning by having it in cash in the bank or in, you know, whatever you put it into, that was pretty good. But now interest rates are going up. A lot of these properties are having to get refinanced. And so guess what? The cap rates are going up. The property values are coming down. So that's a good thing for us as investors. We want to see that. We want to get some better deals on properties. And now that we're having to pay 7.5% and sometimes higher, I've heard some people I know paying 8%. Now that we're paying that much, we want a 10% cap rate. And I have seen even higher. So it is possible to get higher cap rates than that. And if you know where to look, if you know how to find it. So if you're a beginning real estate investor and you're looking for your first few commercial properties, check out that area. It's a good area to be in. You know, the Midland Odessa area can be a great place to get started. And the people there, they're easy to deal with, easy to do business with. They're very laid back. This is not a suit and tie crowd out there. I mean, as much money as there is out there, you would think it would be, but you can walk into a business meeting out there in your blue jeans and boots. And as a real estate broker, I never wore anything but blue jeans, boots. You know, you drive up to the property in a suit and get out, and they're probably going to look at you sideways and, you know, wonder where in the hell you came from. But, you know, it's a very casual atmosphere. And I like that. You'll like it if you want to do business out there. It's just a great place to do business. And it is a great place to invest in real estate. So that is it for this time. I will probably be talking about that area a lot more in the future. I'm starting up out there again. I have listings out there, and I'm starting to get some requests to sell businesses out there. So I will be doing business out there more and more. I'm actually moving closer to the area again. And I will be talking about what's going on out there from time to time. So that's it for this time. I'll see you next time on the Financial Momentum Podcast.